Carmen United Church in Sydney Rocks. My name is Reverend Nick Phillips, and today we are looking at James chapter 1, verses 17 to 27, and Mark chapter 7, selected verses between 1 and 23. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord, today we come to you, seeking your peace in our lives, seeking your direction, seeking hope and forgiveness, and seeking to be more like Jesus. And so, God, as we gather around your word this day, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the most unforgettable moments from General Counsel this summer came towards the end of the week, Friday afternoon. So literally, in the last couple of hours that we were meeting together. Like most meetings of the church, we were in a rush at the end of the week, trying to get all the business, as much business as we could, done before we turned to come home. So in those last few hours, there was a break in the action while we had to deal with some rewording of an issue to figure out the right language we wanted to use, as we so love to do in the United Church. And so in that moment, the moderator invited someone to come and share with us. It was one of our observers. Now, through the week, we had heard from different observers who were present to General Counsel. We heard from other denominations and so on. And this was our intercultural observer who was invited to come and speak. In some ways, the moderator, she was just trying to fill a gap in the space, and so thought we might be able to squeeze him in. And so the intercultural observer was Reverend Paul Waffle. I had the privilege of being in a small group with Paul throughout the week and quickly realized that he is a very wise man. And he was chosen as the intercultural observer because he is an immigrant to Canada. He's from Jamaica. And he currently serves a church just outside of Edmonton. As Paul began to speak, his words began to have a great impact on the room. Paul was talking about racism. And he was speaking as one who has experienced himself as an immigrant, as well as he shared stories from others he knows, the stories that they had shared with him. Stories of racism in the church. And as he finished, the moderator thanked him for his powerful and thoughtful words, and we moved on with the business, back to the business. Again, trying to get as much done as we could before we left in just a couple hours. And so we discussed more business, we voted on some things, and then came another break where we had to reword something again, and so we had a break in the action, and we were going to sing a song, I think it was, but two people ran to a microphone and asked, "Are we going to do anything to address what Paul has just shared with us?" And in that moment, the business of the meeting was suspended. We took a few moments in quiet reflection, and then I believe the real work of the church began. Because for the next 2 hours, we heard story after story from people in the church who had experienced hurtful racism in their lives and in their ministries. And every one of them a minority in the church and in Canada. We never did get to any more business, because we spent those last 2 hours together hearing those stories. It was clear in that moment that this was the most important thing we needed to be doing than dealing with business. I know this is important because I've been hearing about racism in the church for over 15 years. A good friend of mine is a minister in Ottawa, a black man, who has experienced and shared with me stories of racism that he has experienced. And he's been very open about his experiences with the wider church. Frankly, I'm tired of hearing about racism The reason I'm tired of hearing about racism is because it's not because I don't think it's important. It's because I think we should be past this issue. It should have been dealt with a long time ago. It should be over, especially in the church. But it's not. And brothers and sisters in our denomination are still victims of racism even today. And it breaks my heart. Is there racism in Cape Breton? You know there is. You just need to look at how people speak about and treat the native communities, for one example. And I've heard others of racism in Cape Breton. Basically, if you talk negatively or derogatively about another race, that's racism. And racism, as we all know, is big in the news these days, and it should not be tolerated. We need to speak against any racism we see. It's not good enough to shrug our shoulders and say, there's nothing I can do about it, because it's not true. If you see an act of racism, you need to speak against it. It's not acceptable to say, well, that's just Uncle Jim, Uncle Joe, because, you know, that's just the way Joe is. He's harmless. But is he really? Are there children nearby who are hearing him speak this way and learning it's okay to speak that way about other people? Racism is learned. We're not born to see people differently because of the color of their skin or their background. We pick it up somewhere along the way. So if someone is being racist, it needs to be corrected because someone else is going to learn that behavior from that person. It needs to stop. And what's really heartbreaking is that it's happening in the church. Minister after minister went to the microphone at General Council and shared their stories, their experiences of racism in the church, personal stories. And their stories were pretty tame compared to what my friend has shared with me. So I know they've been hurt far deeper than they are willing to admit at this time, that they're willing to share. They're not quite ready to share their whole story just yet. And so it leads me to the question, is this how the church should act? Is this what we should be seeing in the church? Is this about what following Jesus is all about? Do we ignore scenes of hatred and let people suffer unjustly? From their letter from James, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creatures. Life is a gift. All life is a gift from God. We may choose to disagree personally on how we live our lives, how we choose to live our lives, but life is a gift. And as Christians, how we interact with the world reflects upon God, the one we say we believe in. So if we act nasty and hurtful, what are people going to think of the God we say we follow, who leads our lives? You have to step back for a moment and think, how did God think this was a good idea? Let's put sinful people out there who say they follow me and just let them point back to me. Right? It's not the best marketing strategy, really, when you think about it. But maybe that says more about ourselves than it does about God. Maybe it says more about our relationship with God than what God might actually be like when we act in sinful ways. Right? If we agree that God is a God of love and loves everyone, and we go around being racist or whatever towards others, then shouldn't that be on us instead of God? And when we realize this, should we go back to God and say, God, I screwed up. Can you help me fix it? Shouldn't that be what we're doing? What we're about? Which is the right thing to do, isn't it? The problem is, are we doing this? Are we realizing our mistakes, and are we going back and seeking forgiveness and direction from God and what and how to make it right? Do we go back to God and say, let's fix this pattern of behavior I have? For some people, yes, we are doing that. We all want to get better, but I think we all probably know someone who just doesn't care. And if they're saying they're a Christian, then this is a problem. What we need to realize is, and we've talked about this the last couple of weeks, is that what we take into our bodies impacts our relationship with God, and we're not talking about food. We're talking about our environment and our personal, what we take in personally for our spirit. And this is a huge impact on our relationship with God and how we interact with the world. James, in his letter, tells us how we need to act. He says we need to be slow to act. That is, we don't go running our mouths off every chance we get. He says we need to listen carefully, and we need to respond appropriately. We need to be slow to anger, which is to say we don't go blowing our top every time the president tweets something, which is often, by the way, in case you didn't know that. James is reminding us that we need to act as God would have us act. And we need to consider this in all aspects of our lives, not just when we walk into the church. Although I think we all have examples of when that ugliness made its way into the church, and it never turns out well. James goes on to say, if you say you're religious but don't act that way, your religion is useless. That's a harsh statement, but there's certainly some merit to it and truth. If you claim to follow Jesus, and Jesus is a man who loved the weak, the vulnerable, and pretty much everyone he met, and if we walk around and don't act like people of love, then what's the point? James says we need to be doers. We need to do what Jesus teaches us to do. That is to live faithful lives which bear witness to the love of God that he expressed to the world. It means walking with them, feeding them, healing them, and inviting them into a relationship with God. If instead we're working against what Jesus taught us to do, then there's a huge problem. And one would even question why we call ourselves Christian if that's the way we choose to act. When Jesus was challenged in Mark chapter 7 about his disciples who ate with unwashed hands, Jesus went off on a bit of a rant about what it means to be clean. Because in those days, if you ate with unwashed hands, you were considering making your food unclean, which then you ate and made your whole body unclean, and then you would be shunned and pushed away for a little while. It was not a pleasant experience. Now, science tells us that, yeah, we can transfer disease and germs from ourselves to our food and make ourselves sick, but that's not the point. Jesus is getting to the point that it's not the physical food we eat which impacts our cleanliness, because to be considered clean, you need to look at our actions. It's our actions that show who we really are. If our actions are racist, then we're racist. Now, it could be a hope in some ways that if we're unknowingly being racist, and then someone points it out to us, that we would change our ways. You know, someone might pull you aside and say, you know, Uncle Joe, that thing you say all the time, that's kind of racist and you probably shouldn't say it anymore. And then if Joe changes his ways, all is good. But it's a problem if we're being racist and we know it, or whatever it is our sin may be and we know it. And it gets worse if we say we're a Christian and we still do it. Our actions, Jesus is telling us, reflect who we are in our heart. He says all these evil attitudes, these evil thoughts, these evil actions, they all come from our heart. And so if there's this evil in our heart, and it makes up who we are as a person, then what can we possibly do to change it? Well, I can tell you that it's not going to change overnight, most likely. I'm sorry. But once we know we have these problems in our heart and we acknowledge they are a problem that we need to fix, then that's the first step. In order to change, we need to want to be changed. The next step is to take this need for change to God. God is the only one who can truly change our heart. We can try and try and try to do it ourselves, and sometimes it might work for a while, but we often find that the old habits creep back in. So we need to let God to speak to the change. And we need to let him into our heart so he can make the changes that are required. There's a saying that's been going around for a little while now, and I'm pretty sure it's attributed to the book Just Like Jesus by Max Lucado. It says, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. And then it goes on for another line. The next line says, he wants you to be just like Jesus. The only way we can be like Jesus is to let God speak to our hearts and make the changes necessary so that we can be more like Jesus. Now, I can't believe how much God has changed me in the last 15 or so years. I'm a very different person than I was at the turn of the century. And the changes are still coming, and I know I've got a long, 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 long way to go to be more like Jesus, to be like Jesus. And I also know that some days I take steps in the wrong direction. But I'm really thankful that God is patient and graceful, and he is so abundantly to continue to wait for me to get there. There's still a lot of stuff in me that I know needs to change, and I know God is working on it with me. So thank you, God, for being patient. What we do reflects who we are in our hearts. Today we heard Jesus say it, and we heard James say it. God wants to speak to our hearts. He wants to break those chains of that sin has placed on our lives and set us free. Free to be more like Jesus. And it's not easy because that sin, it will fight back. It will not let go easily. If it's something we've been holding on to for a long time, then it's even harder to get rid of. Sin is like a cancer that we can get rid of. God can get rid of. And it's good to do it before it spreads too far in our bodies. We need to let it go. We need to let God point it out to us. And we need to let it go so more of Jesus can get in. If you need any help in this, I'm happy to help. I can't tell you what you need to change. That's between you and God. But I can help you hear God more clearly in your life so that he will cleanse your heart so there's more room for Jesus inside. Jesus said we are never alone. He said he will be with us in our daily walk with God to become more like him. This is God's promise to you and to the world as he loves us more each and every day. We need this relationship with him so we can help make this a better world, starting with ourselves, and make it a better world for all of God's children, removing hate and violence and racism or whatever, so that others can be free to know God through his glorious name. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for walking with us. We want to be more like you. We want to leave behind the hurt and the sin we carry. We want to be free from the sins which enslave us. And we want to be an example of love in this world. Jesus, help us to open our hearts to the love God wishes to pour into us, so that when we are pressed, when we are squeezed, when we are under stress, instead of anger and hatred coming out of our hearts, only love will spill out. Create in us a clean heart, so we may love the world as you so love us. We pray this in your most holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.